It helps when you turn on the microphone. Alrighty. How are you guys doing, my fabulous PSD fam? I'm excited to be here with you. This is Amy Jo Berman. As if you didn't know, we are here for our third group coaching session for Pilot Season Domination, specifically our session entitled today, Making the Money Shift. So I'm not on camera today, Mel. I'm not on camera for these types of coaching sessions, just FYI. I mean, I can be, but I'm not. So, hey, everybody. I love seeing all these faces, you know, names popping in here. We got Paula and Danielle and Judy and Amel, Julia, Eddie, Marietta. Welcome, Alfreda and Tal and Jason and Enrique and Megan and everybody. Got lots of people on here today. Can I ask a question? Are you guys seeing a flickering on my screen? Like the slide keeps jumping in and out? Just wondering, or is it just me? Okay, it's just me. Cool. I have some magical powers. I make my screen flicker just by my being. This is what a powerful vibration can do. Okay. You guys don't have a picture? Well, it's just a slide that says making the money shift. There's really not, you're not missing anything if you're not seeing it, but I'd be happy to stop sharing and reshare just for fun. But really don't worry about it if you're not seeing anything. This is really more of an audio type of coaching. So, hey, Charles, welcome, and Megan. Okay. Okay, you guys got it now? Cool. It just says group coaching 3. Exactly. It's really just to let you know you're in the right place. That's it. So, okay, so welcome. We have some stuff to talk about today, but I want to tap in and see how you guys are doing. Anybody have any kind of little wins, aha moments, or anything that you haven't had a chance to maybe post in the group already just from last week, any awareness or something that popped into your head that you want to share, feel free to pop it in the chat and I'll read that out for everybody. Oh, wow. Danielle just booked a lead and a feature. That's super. How does it get even better than that? Awesome. Tal got a call back, killed a feature film audition. Awesome. What about some other types of some wins, like feeling light or noticing yourself judging somebody or having an awareness, you know, or anything like that? After your total breakdown yesterday, you forgot that your account was empty. That's funny. Major aha moment about money, Megan. That's awesome. Cool. Awesome. I love it. You've been having more awareness. Noticing a lot of yourself, judging yourself, Lamar, that's cool. I think anytime you have an awareness of self-judgment, it is a beautiful thing because then you're on the road to eliminating that judgment. You know, you can't eliminate something you can't see. So realizing how important trust in the community is. Yes, Monica. And isn't it nice? This is such a wonderful, I think this is such a great group and I'm really so excited every day when I log into that group to see all your posts, you know? Congratulations, Shelby. Finally, for the first time in your entire career, felt like you nailed it when you left an audition yesterday. You know, and could that be that you gave yourself the space and time to allow yourself to show up into it, and therefore you had the awareness where maybe you might have nailed it many times before and just wouldn't give yourself that, you know, that win? Just wondering. More awareness of your physical limits, Kayla. Interesting. Booked a commercial this week, Shelby. How does it get even better than that? Al says, I've been listening to your sleep audio just the other day. I almost fell into negativity and then caught myself. And then I booked a commercial. I love it. You look, these are wonderful, a lot of wonderful, tangible results from the things that you've been practicing, you know. But for everybody who hasn't experienced a tangible result, like a booking or a callback or something like that, I want to say that while I am so excited for everything that everybody's booked and all that kind of stuff, I want you to think about the goal for all of this awareness and all of these tools and all of this is to shift into a higher vibration and feel good and let go of self-doubt and just feel the lightness. You know, all the other stuff, and I want you to position this in your mind, is all that other stuff is wonderful gravy that comes from your goal here, which is to create that shift, okay? So that you're not, and I specifically want you guys to do that so that you don't create significance, because, you know, some of you You know, maybe hear people like, oh, I booked something. And you're like, why is that not happening for me? I always think of that song from A Chorus Line, you know, the I'm Feeling Nothing, you know, song. And it's like, you know, when you have, you know, some of you may have that maybe in that space of listening to everybody pop with all this, these tangible types of acting career result oriented things, feeling like, how come that's not happening for me? You know, and I want to, you know, make you all aware that the wins that you have in your acting career that really move the needle and shift so that you can bump into the next level, most of them are going to be tiny little wins that when you continue to have them and choose them and create them, add up to a shift. It's sort of like, did you ever go on a diet and you know, you're trying to lose weight and like, you're doing all that stuff and you're eating right, but nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden, like in one day, it seems like 5 pounds just fall off. You know, you're like, what? I just weighed myself yesterday. And it's like, it all came off yesterday. Well, it didn't. It's just all the things that added up to that was the moment in time that maybe it showed up. And so I want to make you all aware, you know, for those of you who are having some wonderful, big, tangible results, that's amazing. But I really want you all to focus on the small intangibles, the feeling, the vibration, the lightness, the awareness, because all of those little things, you know, are things to celebrate in just as big and tangible a way as you would if you were celebrating a booking. And when you get into that space of celebrating those small slivers of awareness that you have, really celebrating and swirling around in them, you're creating, you're in the process of creating those tangible things coming up. But the difference is when you focus on the tangible results, then you're putting yourself into significance danger versus, you know, staying in the process, which is the thing that creates the results. It's, you know, do you see how interesting and parallel this is to acting? Which is why I love teaching this to specifically to you as actors, because it really parallels the process of being an organic actor creating from the inside. And, you know, it mimics the process. Your own awareness of creating you on demand is very similar to when you really organically create a character and show up into it and just like allow it and get in the zone and in the flow. That's what creation is like for the whole rest of your life too, which is why I know that you have the capacity to be great at this, but it's all about shifting in so many different ways, shifting your mindset, even on the process itself. pretty funky, huh? Let me see. I'm just reading some other comments. Amel says, I listened to the Money Sleep audio loud enough for my husband to hear it too. He was dreaming he was wandering through a very large house trying to turn off the speakers. So you put us in a very large house. That's awesome. You really went into the I have money space, Julie. That's great, because that energy of having money is the thing that creates money. Because when you think about people who have wealth and abundance, they don't want money. They have money, so they have the energy of having money. So if you can create that mental space of what it feels like, the what if I did have money, what would it feel like? You know, that's the first step towards creation. So that's cool. Morel says, using the sleep audios every night this last week, and it's made me feel so much lighter in the morning without self-judgment. Beautiful. How does it keep getting better and better? Gwen says, I feel light since taking this course, but things happened in the past years ago, just gets me upset when I'm alone talking to myself, family related. You know, I mean, look, so you started feeling lighter. Focus on what is happening and that's working for you. You started feeling lighter since taking the course. Instead of adding that but to the end of that, focus on everything that you said before the but happened, okay? Because, you know, when there's a but clause like that, Gwen, and everybody, when there's a but clause, I feel really good, but, right? When you focus, that means your awareness and your focus is going towards everything after the but, and your energy will reflect that. And the frequency that you're vibrating at will reflect that focus. So instead of even going to the but, just stop yourself. When you catch yourself in a but and focus on everything you said before that, just focus on that and what it feels like. Freya says, I found myself not comparing my journey to others and thus enjoying and letting me accept things coming my way. Beautiful. That's really awesome. Karen says, aware that I definitely felt not worthy of accepting money, working to change that now. Beautiful. You know, that's an incredible awareness. And, you know, it's great that you discovered that. You know, that's why one of the things that I love about this particular part of this journey, the abundance part, the money part, right, is that the money beliefs can sometimes be really tricky to find. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to locate other beliefs that aren't working for you. But I find that the money beliefs can be tricky because you don't even realize. That's why I like to, you know, even though it's sort of painful to listen to them, but on class number three, you know, I listed out a bunch of those money beliefs, because sometimes you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that was a thing that could actually put me in the place of attracting more lack. You know, love those sleep audios, Alfreda. That's awesome. Booked an industrial and then had to give up a Blue Bloods audition. Bird in the hand, winning. Exactly, Andre. All right. How's it getting better than that? You know, here's the thing. Every professional actor I have ever worked with at some point and at several points has to pass on things. That's what happens when you're a working actor, is you have to pass on things sometimes because they don't work in your schedule, because it's a conflict with something else. You know, so that's a total win if you have to pass on something. And you know, look at what a reframe is, that is, because you can easily look at that like, oh, I had to give up this. Great. You know, but you didn't. You chose to look at it like a win. And it is a win when you look at it like, okay, well, working actors have to pass on things because they have other things going on. So I'm a working actor. Hot damn. You know, how does it get even better than that? Feeling bolder and more confident in your choices and having fun, Erin. I love hearing that. Awareness that I not only resist compliments, but I often respond with, I'm trying. Right. And you're being willing to let that go, Leela. Beautiful awareness. Love that. I love that, Freya. You're actually having fun putting yourself on tape for things. It should be fun. You know, how does it get even better than like playing pretend? You know, I mean, seriously, like, and also because 95% of what you do is working towards getting the job. It might as well be fun, right? So I'm so glad you found that. You almost finished reading Big Magic, ML. Is it, loving it? Yeah. If you guys haven't read it, please put that on your list of books. I mean, I think it should be required reading for every actor, even though she's a writer and she speaks about the creative journey as a writer. I mean, there is so much synergy with you for actors. And, you know, even for myself, I just lit up on all cylinders reading that book. You just sang that song in your Broadway class last night. Coincidence? Let's see. Excitement for acting. That's awesome. Oh, interesting. Megan says, my Facebook feed during Rent Live last night was a very big moment of awareness when it comes to judgments. Interesting. yes. So let's see. Marietta says, I had a series regular callback and I felt lighter after it. However, oh, here, I feel the butt coming. However, the casting director gave me a super good feedback in the room. So I had expectations / significance that it might lead me to testing for it. I didn't get to the next stage and it felt heavy as I had expected. So I'm going to say that's a huge win. Right? Because look at this, look at the awareness that you just had about this whole thing. You felt light, you know, you noticed yourself attaching significance, even if it was after the fact or right in the middle of it, you noticed that you did that and you noticed the result of it. You have now felt in action the creation of significance and you can see how you did it. Now that you know how you did it, it'll be easier and easier for you. Just like I talked about last week about creating a habit. And the stages of creating a new habit. You know, you're in those stages right now. And the awareness that you had in describing it and noticing it is beautiful. And it's such a win. Cool recording audiobooks, Amel. Is that Amel? Yeah. Okay. Cool. Little wins, small intangibles, celebrate them. Like this a great deal. Good, Charles. Do it. Yes. Okay, good. Danielle says, mine. Oh, so your limiting belief about money is, should I compromise with pay due to knowing there are actors out there with better credits currently? You sometimes feel that way. Should I compromise with pay due to knowing there are actors out there with better credits currently. I think you have to expand on that one a little bit. I'm not quite there yet, but I want to hear more about that. Eddie says, I ask for money, I receive it, I seek money, I get it, knock on doors of the industry and I get it. Years ago, I used this and I got paid a lot of money. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find. Right, you know, whatever works for you, if that works for you, that's great. You know, I mean, the tools that I have shared with you in this program and will continue to share with you are things that work for a lot of people. And there's so many different ones and each person is going to have a different tool or set of tools in this toolbox that are going to be their favorites. And now you get to add other ones or you put ones in there that you already know are working for you. You know, the idea is to give you multiple ways to create the shift so that it's easy for you to do it. Let's see. Every time I take time to work on my other businesses, I feel like I'm neglecting my craft. I've been changing my perspective on that. I can grow my craft and finances at the same time. So be it. Exactly. How does it get even easier than this? You know, like I talked about, you know, in class number three, that that idea that a lot of people will tell you, oh, you have to focus on one thing. You know, otherwise they'll classify you as a flake or somebody who's not serious about something. We've all encountered people like this in our lives. And maybe you've even had that judgment of other people like that. But what's really interesting is while I think that's true for a good chunk of the population, there is a whole other chunk of the population of specifically, I think, of creative people or people who are focused on creative endeavors, you know, more artistic endeavors that actually thrive by dividing their focus. I really believe that. I've seen evidence of that. I'm certainly one of those people. So, you know, it's interesting. And you know, when I first discovered that, when I heard that and I started playing around with that, I'm like, that provided a tremendous freedom for me because I have never been happy focusing on one thing. To me, that's like a prison sentence, you know? But you get all these people telling you have to do that or you're not serious or you're never going to get ahead or whatever. And when I allowed myself that thought of like, well, maybe I'm that other person who thrives by, you know, multiple focus. I'm not talking about multitasking. I'm talking about pursuing multiple things at once. And I don't mean a task. I mean, just things in life, you know, and that opened up so much for me. And, you know, when I've shared that with a lot of my students, you know, there is a certain section of you that are going to be like, so relieved to hear that and feel a freedom from that. That you have never known, whereas, you know, some of you won't, and that's okay because maybe you're the kind that focuses more, that thrives more in focus. But isn't there a great freedom in knowing that we're not all the same and we don't all, you know, there's not that one big broad stamp of a judgment on you of flaky or unfocused or whatever, if you have multiple interests, you know? So I love that you made that discovery, Enrique. What book, Monica? Big Magic. I believe I mentioned it on the intro webinar by Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. Let's see. Sandy, you became aware that the mindset I had to work more at slave jobs to make more money. No more. Woo! I love it. All right. Cool. Latanya says, I'm really aware of how many people make judgment statements, and I want to ask them how they would feel if they didn't have that thought and have a discussion. I ask myself and I decide some don't want to hear or be aware. And I relate to that dismantling from both ends. Yes, exactly. You know, this is, you know, and I believe I mentioned this on a prior call, but when you start to have these mountains of aha moments and your mind is popping like popcorn with all the yummy goodness that you're learning, there's a tendency to want to tell everybody that they need to do it too. But not everybody's open to that message. And you know, if you try to do that, you know, with people who are not open, it may end up, you know, just having a reverb of heaviness on you because they won't give you the reaction you want and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, play around with it and see, you know, if you have an instinct that somebody is open to having that conversation, then, you know, of course you want to follow that instinct and feel free, but just remember, not everybody is in that place. And so the other thing is that can happen is when you have like more of an energy vampire or an unsupportive person in your life, when you make these discoveries, sometimes you'll want to share it with them so you can show them that why everything you're doing is right and good and sort of try to prove yourself to them. And that's the, I would not recommend that tack, because those are the people who will be most resistant and least open, and will make you, you know, will result in you having a greater feeling of heaviness and self-judgment and kicking yourself for ever having opened your mouth and tried. So, you know, really be aware of people's openness before you choose to share this type of a journey with them. Okay. Let's see. So you started attaching gone to your awareness, Latanya. Love that. How's that work? Does it feel good? Let me hear more about that. Let's see. It's okay to judge that Chicago winter though. Actually, you know, yeah, you're preference, what feels good and what feels bad isn't a judgment. Like if you don't enjoy Chicago winter, that's an awareness, really. It's like Chicago is cold. Doesn't feel good to me, and that's okay. Right. But of course, if you want to judge it as terrible, feel free. But I don't think it's going to kill you. But do you see the difference between, you know, the awareness that it's cold and I don't like it, right? You having the awareness of what is pleasing to you or not pleasing to you is not a judgment. It's an awareness, right? You're allowed to have preference. You're a human being. Let's see what else we got here. All right. I have some other stuff I want to share with you guys. So I'm just sort of just, I don't want to miss any of your comments. This is a thing. I want to acknowledge you all. So Danielle says, I've had anxiety about, am I spreading myself too thinly, especially when us actors need to do everything ourselves with social media, et cetera, lots of work, but I love every bit of it. Good. I'm glad that helped you, that idea of, you know, having multiple focus points, being okay with you. Yeah, exactly. One of your biggest victories, Megan says, one of my biggest victories this past year has been leaving the service industry and finding a job that sustains me. It's enjoyable, challenging, and supportive of my acting career. Total game changer. Yeah, you know, what's interesting is, you know, when you have another interest, if you do, it opens up, you know, you're using different parts of your brain. And when you're doing that, you know, you're creating a counterbalance to either, you know, supporting what's going on in your acting career or firing new synapses and all kinds of stuff in your brain to, you know, just create more like a greater knowledge base or more, you know, a complementary skill or something that just, you know, anything that fires up your brain in different places is a good thing, you know? And even like I just started taking a painting class, which scares the crap out of me, by the way, but I'm doing it. I took my first class last week and, you know, I had so much judgment about myself and not being good enough and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I literally heard the whole parade of self-judgment come out of my mouth, you know, talking to myself, talking to my husband or whatever. And I, you know, I realized it's like everything you guys say to yourself when you're acting. And I had that awareness and I was like, and I used my tools and whatnot. But the point being is that, you know, when I'm sitting there and focusing on a canvas and moving colors around, you know, or whatever, I'm using a completely different part of my brain that I use when I'm creating content for you guys or, you know, or doing all the other things that I do. And it absolutely enhances my ability to be more present in the thing that I love doing, you know, or even when I sit down and do things that I hate, you know, I like, you know, part of running your own business is being aware of, like I am, like this business of my training company for you guys, training coaching, is the business part of it. And some of the business part of it, I don't really love. But when I have to sit down and focus on it, I know that I am contributing to the overall health of my brain and the expansion of all the things that I can bring when I'm focusing on the things that I do love. And so it's a good thing. okay. So Kayla says, I thrive being allowed to do all kinds of artistic endeavors. And people have been telling me, I don't mean to be a word I don't want to say, but I want to see you on TV. You need to focus on getting SAG. When in reality, I'm going for SAG and music and modeling. And how should I approach those people and consider that I consider as friends? You could use the, that's an interesting point of view. Thank you for sharing that. You know, that's it. You don't have to engage in a whole conversation. Again, the whole idea of saying that's an interesting point of view, they're going to hear you're absolutely right. But what you're saying is, thank you for your contribution. You know, like you said things and I heard them. That's what, you know, you're actually saying, but they're hearing you're absolutely right. And it ends the conversation. Just don't, you know, don't go into it in depth because you didn't ask that person for their input. You didn't want to have that conversation with them. They're giving you advice on, you know, that you haven't asked for. So it's just acknowledge it. But when you acknowledge it with that phrase, it's a great way to just put a punctuation mark on the topic and move on, you know? Yes, that's Allison. So Allison says, yes, I'm a multitasker. Sometimes I think jack of all trades, master of none. And sometimes none of them being in the money, working on generating more income in some other areas. Sometimes you have to proceed, quote, off the clock with the faith that your efforts will ultimately pay off. You know, that whole jack of all trades, master of none, that goes along with everything that I was just talking about, all the judgments people have of you if you pursue multiple things. And, you know, there's so much evidence of people who pursue multiple things and, you know, who are able to be successful at it, right? But people who aren't that way just don't get it. And that jack of all trades, master of none is a massive judgment. That feels really heavy to me. I always hated that phrase because it made me feel wrong, right? I felt heavy when listening to that because I'm not that person, you know? And so, you find judgment in these phrases sometimes that, you know, are just this common thing that people say, but they don't realize they're actually making a judgment. And when you take, you know, when you agree with it, you're taking on that judgment. Okay. How do you distinguish constant effort from madness? So repeating the same thing over and over again without having a result. Well, Anna, give me an example of, you know, because it sounds to me like you're asking about something specific, but you're trying to put it into a general question. So I would need to know a little bit more about where you're coming from there. Lauren says you're at work listening. I'm in and out, but know the universe is on my side. I'm hearing what I need at the moment. I've done that so many times too, you know, being at, you know, a meeting or a function, or even when I used to be at work at HBO and listening to an audio or something that I wanted to be listening to. So I totally get it. I don't know if you heard that or not, Lauren, but if you did, we're with you. Allison, it is heavy, that phrase, and it is time to uncreate that. So what would it take for us to let go of that master, the jack of all trades, master of none nonsense? And everywhere you bought that as true and real, would you be willing to destroy and uncreate that and let it go? So be it. All right. Awesomeness. I have much to share with you. I'm going to try to keep myself from looking at the comments for a few minutes so that I can actually focus on some of the stuff I want to share with you. And then I'll go back, just FYI. So if you don't see me responding to your comments for a few minutes, please know I'm not ignoring you. Just a couple of things. So I just want to remind you, I sent you guys out that email after the last session, letting you know about the extra bonus, unannounced extra bonus sessions that you're getting, pilot season for beginners on the 31st and the pilot season strategy Q&A on the 7th. You should all have access to the Audition Edge audios now, which I gave you last week and sent you that same email, let you know about that. So how fun is that? So I just wanted to make you aware of that and remind you of those extra bonuses in case you you missed out on that email for some reason. A few of you mentioned the sleep audios that you've been using. So for those of you who are trying them, just, you know, I know a lot of you said you're having, you know, feeling really great, waking up in the morning, you know, using them, and that's really good. If for some reason you're in the percentage of people, and there's always a smaller percentage of people who find them disturbing in your sleep, like they keep you from sleeping, if you're one of those people, that's so okay. Listen to it like a meditation when you're awake instead, okay? So just know you can use them either way, and they work. All right. Excuse me. So if it doesn't, you know, if any of the audios or whatever, if they don't make you feel good, right? If they're not making you feel good, then stop using them in that way. Either come back to it another time or try it a different way. Okay. Remember, all of the sleep audios are just another tool in this giant toolbox that I've given you. So if that particular tool isn't working for you for some reason, just reach for something else. Okay. But I do recommend that you try everything, all these things that you're learning, and see what feels. And when I say try, I don't mean like try. I mean like, you know, dip in, take action on all the tools and use them and then see what works best for you. I wanted to do like an expansion meditation with you, you know, but I wanted to share a story with you about recently I was meditating and I kept having thoughts that were interfering, you know, anybody ever have that? Right? And the thoughts kept coming up and it was driving me crazy. And so I decided to take a different approach with my thoughts. And in the same vein of all the different ways that I've given you to kind of think about blurring them into the background or letting them float off the screen or just allowing them to be. But, you know, a simple phrase that really helped ground me. And it was just this, you know, when I would be in that meditative space and I would notice the thought come in, I would just say to myself, there that is. And then I'd breathe. And here I am. And exhale, there that is, breathe, and here I am. And that helped me become aware and be an allowance of the thought, right? Not try to resist it, but then bring me back to where I am. And that simple phrase, because sometimes I find it, hard to remember all the different things I should do too, right? Tools, right? And so I create little shortcuts for myself. There that is, and here I am. Really helped me. So if anybody feels like the need to try that out, I invite you to do that. It's really worked wonders for me. There that is, and here I am. No judgment, it's just like awareness. And then I'm back, you know, back in the space I wanna be at. And the great thing is you could do that like an infinite number of times and it's not annoying. It sort of becomes part of the process, especially when you add breath into it, that it's not like doing battle with thoughts when it becomes actually part of the meditation itself. So there, I just thought I'd share that one with you. All right, why don't we do an expansion together, and then there's some other stuff I want to share with you. Sound good? All right, good. So here we go. So get comfortable, you know, shimmy into your seat a little bit there and get your body all yummy, good, comfortable, relaxed. Get into a comfortable position and just allow yourself to just chillax and melt into the chair that you're in, unless you're driving or you're at work. But I'm just going to assume you're not for the sake of this exercise. All right. So if possible, close your eyes. That would be a good thing. And take a nice deep breath in. And let it out. And the next nice deep breath in, notice as you exhale, just notice your shoulders just melting a little bit. Take a nice deep breath in and feel those shoulders melt. Right. And notice any thoughts that you might have had in that moment as we're sitting here breathing in and melting into the chair. Notice any judgments. Watch them just float by like text on a video screen, flying in and flying out. No judgment, just watching. That's right. There that is. And here I am. Good. Now just notice your body. Just notice it. Notice it. Notice the thoughts you just had when I said notice your body, whatever that was. There that is. And here I am. And watch the thoughts that come up. Watch them float off the screen like the end crawl in a film. Floating upward, 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 and just out of view. There that is. And here I am. Good. Just be there in your body. Allow yourself to just become aware of your body. Trickle that energy of you, that beautiful, sparkly, twinkly, creative energy that is you. Just allow that to just trickle just outside your body. So that's coming from the inside of you out just about a quarter of an inch outside your body. And just become aware of the thoughts you might have had about, oh, not doing this right or all that stuff. And allow those thoughts to just fade. Don't force them, just watch them. If those thoughts don't want to fade, just notice them. There that is. And here I am. Good. What if you could just allow those thoughts to be if they want to be there, but just shift your focus so they blur into the background. And as you become aware of those thoughts, just blur it into the background. Notice them. There that is. And here I am. Now scan down your body. Just do that, just a scan down your body. Notice any points of tension. Don't try to notice or do anything about it. Just notice it. There's no right or wrong way to be aware. There that is. And here I am. Okay. Start to become aware of the energy of you just outside your body, hovering right outside your body, just that beautiful energy of you, whatever that means to you. There that is. There it is. It's all you, just you. And allow yourself to just become aware of it. There's no right or wrong way to be. And allow that energy of you to just creep out and expand just because it can. Because you can. And let that beautiful energy of you just fill up the whole room that you're in. Yeah, just allow it to just seep out of you in every direction until it's like this mist that's just filling up the whole room that you're in. And it feels so good to just expand out like that. Yes, and allow it to expand all the way to the walls, up to the ceiling, and every little crevice, every crack of the room is just filled with that beautiful, that glorious, that yummy energy of you. And just because you're infinite, why not expand outside those walls? Yeah, just go right past them. What's a wall? We don't need no stinking walls, right? Take a nice deep breath. And expand right through those walls, right outside those walls, and allow that energy of you to just expand into the whole building that you're in, through the roof, out the walls, the whole building that you're in. Just fill up the whole city that you're in with all of you. You could do that in a split second, anytime, any place. Yeah, just like you just did. And just allow yourself to expand and stretch out through the whole city that you're in, through the whole state that you're in. Allow that energy of you, that yummy, expansive, infinite, creative being that you are, that master creator of you, to expand all the way up into the sky and all the way down through the ground and all the way across the continent that you're on right now. And just keep going until you're expanded all the way up through the atmosphere, all the way down through the earth, and all the way out the other side, and just give the earth a nice big hug just because you can. And allow that beautiful, amazing, expanded being of you to expand way out into the universe, way out through the galaxy, way, way out until you just don't even know where you end and it begins, until you are the oneness and consciousness of all things. Ah, isn't that nice? Yeah, awesome. So from this beautiful expanded place, open your eyes and just be present. And just know that this right here, right now, is your natural state of being. And what if you could come back here anytime you want and create the life and the acting career you want right from here? Ah, who's feeling light as a feather? Me, me, me. Anyone else? It's hard not to, right? You guys still with me? Everybody all floaty? All right, cool. Me too, LaTanya. I like them. All right, so now that we're all here in the same beautiful light space, I just want to talk a little bit about this idea of making a shift. You know, this session here today is about making the money shift, right? But so when we're talking about making a shift, I mean, you know, we can talk about money and we will, but I really want to think more, think bigger, and think about the shift from lack to abundance, right? Because, you know, when we're talking about lack, we're not just talking about lack of money. When we're talking about abundance, we're not just talking about having money, right? Abundance, the energy of abundance, is not segmented into just one area of your life. When you allow yourself to become the abundant creative being that you were born to be, that you were born as, that you cut yourself off from, but are now rediscovering, when you move back into and shift into abundance, abundance is more than just money. Abundance could be abundance of love in your life, abundance of friends and family, abundance of auditions, abundance of so many different kinds of things. So the energy of abundance defies segmentation. Okay, so making the shift from lack to abundance includes money, but is not exclusive to money, which is a good thing, right? And you know, when you're seeking to have abundance as your target of what you want to, where you want to be, right? You know that you can't get to abundance from lack thinking. So if lack thinking got you into that struggle mode that maybe put you in that space that recognized that this was the right class to take because you needed to make that shift. If the lack thinking that got you into wherever your acting career got stuck, you know, you can't create abundance from that same structure of thought, which is why this whole program is about shifting your thoughts and beliefs, okay? You know, so you know, you've all heard of the law of attraction, right? And of course, you know, the law of attraction is just one of 12 of the universal laws. And just focusing on the law of attraction in and of itself doesn't bring you abundance, doesn't bring you everything you want. It's a huge chunk of it, but you know, there's a lot of other universal laws. You can look them up, Google them, or we could do some other training on that in the future. But you know, there's one in particular that I wanted to point out here. You know, one of the other universal laws that allows you to manifest and create, you know, is the law of correspondence. And the law of correspondence basically says that your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. Your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. So if you have a thought of like, well, I want to make money from my acting, but your whole belief system revolves around the lack of it, right? So if your whole belief system revolves around the lack of money, well, your outer world is a reflection of that inner world. So if you have a desire to make money from acting, you are not vibrationally compatible with that thing that you're desiring. Makes sense? So, you know, so how you see money, or how you see anything, but how you see money determines what's possible for you in the area of money. How you see your acting career determines what's possible for you in the way of your acting career. How you see it, how you visualize it, how you understand it, how you, the beliefs you hold about it, determine what's possible for you. So when you focus on the absence of what you want, whether that's money from acting or just, you know, success in your acting career or whatever, you get, when you focus on the absence of what it is that you want, you get more of the absence. And then you have a hard time finding your way to the thing that you actually want. When you focus on the absence of what you have, so like, I don't have an agent. You keep focusing on, I don't have an agent. You're telling the universe, please bring me more of, I don't have an agent, because you're focusing on the lack and not the abundance. Okay. Makes sense. So, you know, when we're talking about shifting and making this shift, you know, you have to focus on shifting your energy, your vibration, and finding your way to your natural you-ness, right? Your state of beingness, which is why an exercise like that expansion, you know, really taps into that thing. And all the things that we're doing help you tap into that thing. So it may seem like a lot of the stuff that we're practicing is kind of sideways from acting, but this is why this is the foundation of this course. And because it, you know, it's the thing that you're creating from. You're creating your acting career from a place of abundant thinking, of beliefs that work for you, right? So, you know, when you think about all of this stuff, which, you know, is all energy and vibration and all that stuff, you understand that we're vibrational beings. If you were to look at our molecules under a high powered microscope, you would see vibration. Everything vibrates. Everything has a vibrational frequency. We're all vibration, and each thing, each person, each thought, each everything has a different frequency. So if you want to attract money into your life or your acting career, you have to be a vibrational match to having money, which is why I talked about that in class number three, the idea of having, getting into the mind space of what it feels like to have money, to imagine yourself as if you already had it. Because as I said earlier, people who always have money are radiating the vibrational frequency of having money. They're being money, and opportunities to have it come to them because they're a vibrational match for it. And not because they're just sitting, meditating in their living room, becoming a vibrational match, because they take aligned actions from that place, because the law of action is another one of those universal laws. You got to take actions, right? To move your acting career forward. It's not just about, meditating and visualizing. You have to take actions, but you want to always think about taking aligned actions. And how can you take aligned actions if you're not focused on alignment, which is what this whole program is about? Okay. So remember, when it comes to the vibration of you and shifting into a vibration of abundance, remember that vibrational language speaks louder than words. Vibrational language speaks louder than words, meaning if you're just repeating mantras or trying to make something happen or using any of these tools and you're just saying the words and not, it would be sort of like in acting terms, it would be like, saying the lines without having any emotional life underneath them, right? It's the emotional life underneath the lines that creates the character. It's the same thing here in terms of creating the vibration and the abundance and all that kind of stuff. That your vibrational language, I guess your vibrational subtext, as it were, your vibrational subtext is way more important than the text, the words, the mantras, even the questions. It's the vibrational subtext that you really want to focus on. So, and yes, words are, of course, are important, but only in their vibration, the energy and how they feel to you, like that's why certain words will resonate with you differently than somebody else. Certain words will feel light to you and feel heavy to somebody else. So it's really important to pay attention to those things. Because the ones that feel light to you are going to be things that you're going to want to use over and over again. And the things that feel heavy to you, well, you either want to clear the energy around them or, find something else that does feel light to you. And, actions are also important, right? But the actions you take, again, should be aligned actions. So if you want to create money or success in your acting career, you have to be in alignment with those things. Receiving is vibrational compatibility with having what you want. So when it comes to making the shift, again, it's not your words, it's your music that creates the change, it's your vibrational subtext. So, everything is like acting, right? So if you when you think about your character, when you have a character that you're working on, and you think about how your character achieves what they want in a scene, when you start from a place of intention, a knowingness of what you want, what your character wants, everything that happens in that scene should be aligned with the goal of the thing that your character wants, so that every line that your character is saying should be in alignment with whatever that goal is. And when you create that alignment for your character in your scene, that's when a performance really lights up. It certainly does with an audition as well. So, as an actor in that space, you're making a moment-to-moment choices that come to you because when you're performing and you're really in the zone, because you're in that vibrational space of being the character in that scene in the moment. And it's the same thing with you in your life and creating that vibrational compatibility with the thing that you want. So, just remember, like I said earlier, you of all the different types of people in the world, you as actors have so much more of an ease with and a gift with vibrational alignment with what it is you want, whereas other people might not find it as easy as you're finding it, or you will be finding it, because you have the innate skills. You like, that's what you are as an actor. So just remember that in those moments where maybe you're finding yourself in judgment or something feels hard to you, ask yourself, like, what if it could be easy? What if I could use my skills as an actor to touch in with my, to shift my vibrational subtext and be in alignment with what it is that I want? And anything that's preventing me from having that right now, I destroy and uncreate, so be it. Those little inner dialogues are really helpful. So So that's just, you know, a few thoughts about vibration and receiving and shifting into abundance. And, you know, also and we touched on this earlier about significance when we were, you know, I was walking through the comments and talking with you guys, you know, significance, you know, is one of probably one of the biggest plagues of a successful acting career, you know, or I should say one of the biggest plagues of a struggling actor. You know, when you want something so badly, like you want to book that thing that you want to book or whatever it is, you know, when you are like, oh, I want it so bad, that the vibrational subtext of that is, I want, you're in wanting, right? And so the note that you're singing to the universe is, you know, is wanting. You know, wanting is not having. Wanting is the opposite of having. Wanting is the energy of lack. So again, you're telegraphing out to the universe, to your subconscious mind, to whatever it is that you believe in, I don't have this thing. Give me more of not having this thing. You know, that's when you're in want mode, right? And so that's what significance, why significance gets in your way so much as an actor, because, you know, when you're in the energy of wanting, you're pushing that thing away, number one. And then number two, you've set yourself up for a massive fall, for a Humpty Dumpty right off the wall, because, you know, you put so much pressure on it that then when you don't get it, you have no choice but to crash. And that's, you know, that's the danger of significance. So just be aware of that, you know, and as you're on this journey, you know, and the reason why we practice all this stuff is because, you know, creating a solution to any of that with the same mind that created the problem is going to get you more of the same, which is why you're on this journey to shift into the place of ease, you know, that you were born with, that you cut yourself off from over the course of time. Remember, alignment is your natural state of being. Alignment is your natural state of being. Write that down, tattoo it on your arm. You know, alignment is your natural state of being. So every time you're feeling heavy, that's a sign that you're out of alignment with who you are. And just remind yourself in those moments, you know, alignment is my natural state of being. What if I could just snap back into my natural state of being? You know, because I think sometimes when we start this kind of a journey, you look at alignment like something like you have to get something outside of you that you're chasing after. But if you look at it like you already have it, it's already there. You're just, you know, uncovering it. You know, it's like that thing that, you know, Michelangelo was quoted as saying, you know, I'm going to totally screw this up, but the concept being that he used to, you know, sculpt, and, you know, he would say that he wasn't like creating a sculpture. He was just like chipping away at the marble and letting the thing was already in the marble. He was just kind of letting it out. I totally screwed that up, but do you know what I'm talking about, right? So it's the same thing, you know, it's the same thing about your state of your natural state of being alignment. It's already in there. You know, you just, and when you really take hold of that and make that a part of your belief system, it becomes way easier to snap in at will. You know what I'm talking about? So there that is. Okay. So those are just some thoughts that I wanted to share with you about these things as you forge on and make the shift into abundance. I have some comments here, so I want to go back and kind of look through the stuff that you're saying. Oh, Solana, thanks for posting those other laws. Yeah, maybe I'll do a training about that at some point in the future. That's cool. Yeah, the law of correspondence. And, you know, that's just my interpretation of it, is that, you know, your inner life, your outer life is a reflection of your inner life. You know, you'll find lots of stuff written on the law of correspondence, but that's kind of, you know, what I wanted to point your attention to. What should we think then if we don't want to think of wanting something? Morel wants to know. If you don't want to think of wanting something, give me an example. Give me an example and I'll show you how to flip it. Okay. And then I will scroll down and find your answer here. One second. Danielle says, when I ask to come in for an audition, I say, I want to come in for an audition. I like want because I ask directly for what I want instead of hope or wish to. Yeah, so this is a perfect example of how a word can have a different vibration and meaning to you in a different situation. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, like when we're in day-to-day life with people in our society, you know, the word want means a certain thing, right? I want an ice cream cone. I want to come in for that. I want whatever. And that, you know, it's the way you use it and the vibration that you hold when you use it that makes it either heavy or light, that makes it either lack or abundance, you know? So in that instance, it sounds to me, it feels to me like you're not in the energy of lack when you, Danielle, are using that particular example. Like, it feels good and light to you to say it because it feels direct and it feels good. And so you see how it's so much more about the vibration than the word itself, you know. But if you were to say, like, if you were to all think about the last time that you really, really wanted something that you didn't get, like in your acting career, you know, you really wanted to book something, you really wanted that agent to sign you, you really wanted whatever, and like tap into what that want felt like. That want, if want feels heavy, then it's lack. That's the easiest way to figure it out. If it feels heavy, then it's lack. In this instance, it doesn't feel, that's why I'm saying it's so important for you to tap in to your own awareness, because your own awareness trumps everything, you know? Okay, so Jesse says it's a trap. I want because I lack therefore I want. It's a trap. I suspect that there is okay. Alignment isn't possible. Okay. So that's an interesting point of view, that you look at that as a trap. That's just an interesting point of view. Okay. That's a great, great usage of that tool, right? So everywhere that you have bought into the idea of the lack want trap, would you be willing to destroy and uncreate it and shift your point of view about it? So be it, because it's, you know, your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. If your inner world says, I lack, therefore I want, it's a trap, then your outer world is going to reflect that. So, and I'm not saying that there are things in your life that you don't have, right? Right now, physically, like, let's say you have a desire for a certain amount of money, whatever that is, right? Or, you know, a new car, or, you know, a bigger house, or whatever it is. It, you know, yes, you physically don't have those things right now. Okay. So that's different. So we can look at the definition of, yes, the Webster definition is I lack that big house, right? But that's different than the energy of that thing. Okay, that's the intellectual, conscious mind thinking way of trying to figure this stuff all out. And, you know, I really want you to understand that when we're talking about shifting your vibration and changing your thought patterns and beliefs to be vibrationally compatible with receiving the acting career that you want and the life that you want, all that stuff, all this woo-woo energy stuff, it's woo-woo energy stuff, okay? It's not intellectual thought. You know, if you try to solve the problem with intellectual thought, you will perceive that as a circular kind of trap. So that's a really good indication. If you feel like you're, like, it's, in your words, Jesse, it's a trap, and that you're stuck in that loop, that is a really good indication that you're trying to use your conscious mind to solve a problem or a challenge or something that isn't a conscious mind thing. This is about your energy. You can't solve your vibration with your conscious mind. You can't shift into alignment with your conscious mind. It's an exercise of the subconscious and of the energetic being that you are. And so, you know, when you have the perception that something is a trap, what you're basically saying is, I've cut off all awareness to any other possibility. And when you're in an experience of feeling cut off from possibility, that's also another clue that you're stuck in conscious thought. You know, and so you could even start with something as simple as the truth triggers and say, well, who would I be without that thought? Who would I be without thinking this is a trap? who would I be without the thought that there are no possible solutions? And who would I be without that? You know, what would it take for me to become aware of the infinite possibilities that are beyond my conscious awareness right here, right now, in this minute? And what would it take for me to be aware of them when they come into my life? And everywhere I've cut off my awareness to the infinite possibilities that abound, if I were willing to see them, I destroy and uncreate that, so be it. That's how I would approach that. That makes sense? Solana. So Solana, you are referring to your prior comment, which I'm now trying to find. Who was it that was sharing before about the want? And I said, describe what it is. Oh, Danielle. Okay. Okay, wait, let me go back further. Morale is asking, what should we think then if we don't want to think of wanting something? Don't think of something, just like, so give me an example. So if you don't want to think of wanting something, like let's say wanting an agent, right? Let's say you don't want to get into the, I actually want to shift what you just said. So what you said is, what should we think if we don't want to think of wanting something? So who should we be if we don't want to be in the state of lack? If we don't want to focus on lack, what should I focus on? So I just want to, you know, shift away from thinking to focusing, or, you know, aligning with, right? So what should you, first of all, I would become aware of those thoughts, right? And without judgment, the first step would be to notice your thoughts of wanting and be like, oh, look, there I am focusing my thoughts on wanting. I'm just going to use an example of an agent, just because there I am focusing on wanting an agent. And then notice, even when I just said wanting an agent, I had that feeling in my stomach just from saying it, that heaviness. So then you want to ask yourself, you know, ask your body, you know, what does it feel like when I think in my body, I want an agent? Use the truth triggers. When in doubt, use them, right? And, you know, and ask. And if your body has that, when you say, I want an agent, that is your awareness saying, you know, that there's a heaviness around there. That means you're not in alignment. When you're feeling heavy about something, you're not in alignment, right? And then, so instead of saying, I want an agent, say, you know, flip it into a question. What would it take for an amazing agent to come into my life so easily? And you know, anywhere I'm holding attachments to or preventing that from happening with my beliefs, I destroy and I create, so be it. You know, what would it take? You know, what would it feel like? Who would I be if I were the actor who had a great agent? What would that feel like? You know, and then imagine yourself telling your best friend that you got a great agent and your agent's sending you out all the time. And, you know, what would it feel like if you were that actor who had that thing that it is that you want? Those are the kinds of things that I recommend you focus your attention on. And that's the energy of having, right? That's the idea of like the what ifs. Wouldn't it be nice if I had an agent? So that would be another way to put it to yourself. So instead of thinking, I want an agent, wouldn't it be nice if I had a great agent? Do you see how light that feels? That's it. It's just something as simple as that, as flipping it into a question or using the truth triggers. You know, just zip through your whole list of tools, or, you know, if you know the one that works best for you, then use it. But, you know, any of those things, tuning into your body, noticing it's heavy, all those things, that's how I would do it. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's see. Morale says, when I get an audition for a great role in a pilot, I'm thinking, I really want this role. And then I'm going into the audition room. What should I think instead of I really want? Is that, wouldn't it be nice if, wouldn't it be fun if I got this? Wouldn't it be fun if? That's it. It just takes the stink off of I really want, which is just such a heavy energy. Wouldn't it be fun if? That's it. Super simple. Aaron says, I got an audition for a recurring role on an episodic. I was thrilled to get the audition. It was fun to tape and I was proud of my work, but here's the but I'm having a hard time not attaching significance to it. It feels like a process to do every time those feelings bubble up. And that's okay, because you're in the beginning of creating a new habit. So yes, right now it may feel like, you know, you have to, you know, choose these different types of thoughts and ask these different questions and shift and, you know, and use your tools and stuff like that in the beginning. Yeah, you're going to have to do a little bit of that. It's sort of like, you know, going to the gym. You know, if you want to get a 6-pack abs, you definitely have to do more than, you know, sit-ups one day. You know, you have to do those crunches on a consistent basis. And then, you know, suddenly, oh, look at me, I have a 6-pack. Well, you're not going to stop doing it because now you have a 6-pack and it looks good and it feels good. So you're going to want to, you know, keep that up so that, you know, but it feels so good, you're going to want to do it. So it's the same way with shifting your vibration and shifting your thoughts in this way. And so I love that you said, I was thrilled to get the audition. It was fun to tape. So those are great awarenesses that it was fun. You were proud of your work. You felt really good about that. And, you know, in terms of not attaching significance, then just start asking, you know, wouldn't it be fun if, you know, what are the infinite possibilities for this and something else? What are the, you know, other amazing things that could happen? You know, the thing is, when you don't get something that you're trying to manifest or create, like you don't book something, that, you know, that whole idea of not getting something, you know, is definitely that signifying that you have attachment. Yeah. So the best thing that you can do for yourself is to, actually, you know, here's where the audios, sorry, come in handy that I gave you last week, the Audition Edge audios. If I were you, especially after an audition like that, that felt really good, I have an audio that I created just for that reason. It's another tool. These are all tools. And that's called the Ride Home Nailed It, right? It's in the audio 4-pack that you all got. So the Ride Home Nailed It, that audio was designed specifically to keep you from creating attachment, to tap into that feeling of how good it feels and how great you feel about yourself when you feel like you nailed it. That would be the tool that I would use in that scenario. You know, the other one, the ride home kicking yourself, you know what that's for, right? To prevent that. But you know, it's funny because usually we'll reach for a tool or try to fix something when it feels bad, right? And we'll rarely do you reach for a tool when something feels good. And this is a perfect instance of when you want to double down on something that feels good, right? And it's, you know, you want to take those good feelings and you want to magnify them. You want to swirl around in them. You want to, you know, instead, and that will help keep you from getting into attachment mode and just keep your vibration in that yummy feeling space. So I would try that, Erin, next time that you feel really good after an audition. Use that. Again, like I said, it's, you know, we usually will reach for a Band-Aid when we have a boo-boo. Rarely do we reach for, you know, that type of a tool when we're feeling good. But what if you could? You know, who could you be when you actually start doubling down on awareness and yummy vibrational alignment? You know, doubling down on that good stuff, you know, can create this shift so much faster for you. So I would try that. When people ask me, Marga says, when people ask me what I do and I say my current job, I feel bad because that's denying what I really want to do. But if I just say I'm an actress, I'm lying because I still don't have an abundance, lying in quotes, because I still don't have an abundance of jobs in acting. So I don't know what to do on those occasions. Does anybody else feel like they have a good solution for Marga that they could offer? What feels good to any of you to say when, you know, if you have a day job? I want to hear from everybody else and then I'll chime in. Okay. So, let's see. Anybody want to chime in on that? You're not sure what to do with those good feelings, Erin? Well, now you know. Double down. Use the audios. Enrique just says, I'm an actor. Yeah, Andre says, just claim it. Or you could say an actor and waiter, etc. Or you can say, I'm an actor, and you eventually get used to it. Yeah. And then you don't owe anybody an explanation. Exactly. You say you're a working actor, Stu says. See, everybody's saying they're an actor, you know, or you say all the different jobs that you do, Angela, you know. Or Morale says, I'm hustling, auditioning, and I pay my rent with my side job too. Yeah. Or that's another one, patience. You can say, this is my day job and I'm an actress. You do both. you know, yeah, I think it's, you know, I think what a lot of what I'm seeing here is that, and what I wanted to get to is, you know, you have this feeling of denying who you are, but like you're keeping some secret by not telling people, because you don't deem yourself a real actress until you're making your full-time living at it. And that is pointing to that belief. That's, you know, like I mentioned on the intro webinar that, you know, when I get my first paycheck, then I'll be a real actor. You know, it's sort of akin to that type of a belief that you don't believe that you're an actor just because you're not, you don't have a paycheck to prove it. And who would you be without that thought, right? Your side job doesn't define you. And you know what? Your acting job doesn't define you. None of that, your beingness defines you, right? But if you, you know, if it feels good to you to align with the idea of being an actor and you feel like you're keeping a big secret, it's usually because you have the belief. So I would maybe focus on asking questions around getting rid of that belief. Does that make sense? By the way, thank you for all those wonderful suggestions. I think that really helps, you know, to see how many people are saying, you know, like, I'm an actor, you're declaring it because you are one. Just because you're not, you know, making your full-time living as an actor, that doesn't make you any less of an actor. You know, like, ask Bradley Cooper the next time he's, you know, sitting in a bar and having a drink, are you an actor? Well, yes, but you're not acting right now. Right. He's an actor regardless of whether he's in the moment of acting, whether he's directing, or whether he's, you know, sitting around having a drink with somebody. Like you're that thing that you are, whether you're, you know, whether somebody pays you for it or not. Ask any artist who's painted a bazillion paintings, but, you know, maybe they haven't made as many sales as they like, but they have a gallery full of painting. Does that make them any less of an artist just because they're, you know, they haven't gotten paid for it? So who would you be without that thought? Yeah, yes, auditioning is your job, Allison. Exactly. You know, that's what I said. 95% of your job is as an actor is pursuing getting hired, you know? So you're denying 95% of the job of being an actor. Yeah, so Julia, felt weird to you the first time you said it out loud. Yeah. It's very liberating. It could be very, you know, it's a big deal the first time you declare it. A lot of actors feel that way. Yeah, the first time you say it out loud, like it's real, you know? And so everywhere you've denied yourself that experience of feeling like a real actor, you know, would you be willing to destroy and uncreate that and declare it? I am an actor. Woo, so be it. Someone put it in perspective for you. Danielle said, if there are no artists, take away all the entertainment, no audiobooks, no TV shows, no theater, no music, no singing, no paintings or art. Imagine that world. Exactly. I'm proud to be in the creative arts. Yes. And, you know, and you, as you should be, as you all should be, you know, the world is a more beautiful place for what we have, you know, what we create in it. And, you know, nobody has to pay you for that creation to make that creation real. Yeah, the more you say it, the more you feel it. It's true. Absolutely, Solana. Yeah, exactly. Cool. All right. I just want to make sure I didn't miss any more comments here or any other questions. Anybody else have like something else they wanted me to address that I missed? Because honestly, there's so many comments, it's hard for me to to feel like I'm not missing something. Jesse says, there are roles that are simply not aligned with me as a being. I've turned them down, even when they're good parts, even if trained actor, go ahead. Is there some more to that comment, Jesse? I feel like it got cut off. There you go, James. I am a successful working actor. Woo, awesome. Declarations abound. I love it. Okay, no links, come on. Take those links out of there. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm just no self-promotion. Those are time and a place for that. Okay. We love you anyway. Let's see. All right. Anybody else have any questions or anything they want me to address that if I missed it and it was in the queue somewhere and you want to paste it again, please let me know. Okay, so Jesse said, yes, that although I'm a trained actor, I don't feel I can do it justice. What do you mean? Oh, you don't feel like you can do justice. So when you turn down a role that's not aligned with you, that you don't feel that you can do that role justice if you're not aligned with that role. So are you saying that you'll never play like a role that's not, you know, like what if you got like a great, like what if you were Anthony Hopkins and got offered Silence of the Lambs and you to play that serial killer, you know, and the role of a lifetime, because it's not aligned with who you are, you wouldn't play it? I'm just asking. I'm not judging here. I'm just trying to like get a sense of, do you feel like you can only play roles that are, when you say aligned with you, what do you mean? Like that you don't think you could do justice to a role that's so far, like against your belief systems, or like, tell me more about that. Because, you know, I totally get not playing something, like if something is really like you don't align with the piece because it's against your core values, that's totally okay for you to pass on anything like that. But of course, it's okay for you to pass on anything that you want. I want to distinguish between passing on something that is not in alignment with your core values as a person, or you think promotes something that's not good for the world, the universe, and you don't want to be a part of that, versus, you know, I don't want to play the part of a bitchy, nasty person because I'm not in alignment with bitchy, nasty behavior. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to distinguish between that. So tell me kind of where you're at there, Jesse, so I can kind of help you with that a little bit more. Marcus, you were offered a serial killer role in a series recently, and how did you feel about that? Did you take it? Yeah, LaTanya, like the video I shared with the Denzel Washington video, yeah, where he talks about passing on a role that was not in alignment with who he was, right? And that was, he was really listening to his soul on that one, and something way, way better came along. And that's totally cool to be, you know, you know you better than anybody else. And if you feel like something just is not in alignment with the types of roles that you want to play, like, you know, I know a lot of actors feel that way, that they don't want to play, you know, or even like African-American actors who don't want to play a slave or a gang member, like, okay, enough with that type of a role. I want to play something that's more representative of what's happening in society. I don't want to keep getting pigeonholed. Like, I get that. That's, you know, that's cool to be, like, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm just trying to get a sense of what is your sticking point when you say not aligned with, because it seems like you're having trouble with that. And that's what I want to get to. Like, you're not sure if that's the right thing to do, or you're feeling that maybe, you know, that's not a good thing. So I need to hear a little bit more from you there, Jesse. So yeah, that's, Jesse says, yes, that's what I mean. I'm pretty open to most roles, but sometimes some roles just don't align with my own personal values. Then you pass on them. Yes, exactly. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Actors do it all the time. You know, you know, as long as you're being true to who you are, and like, you have to make sure your agent gets it or whatever. And like, you know, you just, you know, want to make sure that you're being true to that, and not just like, oh, I don't, you know, I don't want to play a bad person ever. Or, you know, if you're fearful of being able to do a good job at a role, and so you're feeling heavy about it, and then maybe you assign it that same thing of, oh, that's not in alignment with it. If you're really clear on that piece, you know, then you should follow that, you know? But, you know, Marcus says a friend felt he couldn't play a mobster. Fair enough. He was brilliant in the tape. But hey, exactly. Like, oh, gosh, who was it? So we were casting a movie. What was it? It was a Peter Sellers movie many years ago at HBO. And we were trying to find somebody to play Peter Sellers. You know, we had a list and we were going back and forth. But we really wanted Jeffrey Rush. And we offered him the role and he passed because he didn't think he could do it. And, you know, we tried to keep casting, but we just kept coming back to him. And we basically ended up having to convince him that he could do it. You know, we talked to friends of his who talked to him about it or whatever. He didn't have the belief that he was capable of doing it. He doubted himself, right? And he, you know, he won an Emmy for that role when he finally took it. Yeah, he did a great job, Camille. But yeah, Megan, so this is what I'm saying. So if you've ever had self-doubt, just know you and Jeffrey Rush are in, and every other actor under the sun who's won every award possible, feel that way. at times. And, you know, so that's all I'm saying, Jesse, is just make sure you're super clear on it being alignment versus fear. And if you are clear on that, then you listen to that, you know? Yeah, exactly. You can't wait for casting to believe in you that much, Danielle. What if, you know, what if that's just around the corner for you? Jesse says, agents don't always get it. I was told by one of my agents last year, reading for a big casting director, that I wasn't established enough to pass on roles. So there was some sticky energy attached to that sense. You know, your agents don't always, you know, align with your beliefs. That's true. And sometimes you have disagreements, and that's okay. And yeah, I mean, it depends on a lot of actors in terms of passing. But when it comes right down to it, your feelings and your core values are going to have to, they're what drive you. Just go back and watch that Denzel video if you ever have doubt against it, because everybody told him he was crazy too for passing on that role. So, you know, yes, you are going to have people that are going to tell you that, because that's, you know, a lot of people believe that in the business. But, you know, in the end of the day, you have to look at yourself in the mirror every day, and you have to feel good about what you're doing. And, you know, if you have the kind of acting career that never has any controversy and nobody ever says that they disagree with you, then something's wrong. You know, then you're not, you know, there's just always going to be people who disagree. And what if that's okay? And what if you could know that, you know, as long as you're being true to who you are, you know, that's the best thing that you can do in life. And you just have to know the universe has your back. You know, if you're really unsure about things like that, that would be the kind of thing, like, you know, you could choose to have a consultation with somebody in the business who can give you some guidance on that on a more specific basis. You know, so I'm giving you the general of how to tap in and know what's right for you and true for you. But there's nothing wrong with consulting with somebody and getting like a third party expert to, you know, to give you that extra bit of confidence at times. And that's, you know, that's something that's choice, right? You get to choose that too. So sometimes, you know, it's nice to get a little validation. You don't require it, but, you know, if you can do it and you'd like to do that, you can always do that, you know? Okay, Lillian says, pilot season and my agent just dropped me. Should I focus on finding a new one? You know what, let's talk about that more tactical stuff on our tactical session. I want to keep this more shifting and belief system focused. Okay. Yes, Monica, I agree. I think so many people attach significance to agents, which really puts them in a space where they don't feel like they can move forward. And you know what, who would you be without that thought? Who would you be without that thought? Everywhere you've made an agent the be-all and end-all, and, you know, the most important decision maker in your life, would you be willing to destroy and create that and let it go and tap into your infinite awareness for what's best for you? You know, when, you know, an agent works for you, I know it doesn't feel that way, but sometimes an agent works for you and they're there to advise you and to do various things, you know, in your career. But ultimately, you have said, yes, you want to rely on their expertise, but you know, to a degree, but you always have to run everything through your inner being. You know, your inner being has the final word. And when you think about, you know, think about this, think about a time in your life when something not good happened and you knew you should have made that other decision. When you look back, you know, you hit a fork in the road, should I pick A or B? And you picked B when you know in your gut you should have picked A. And then something happened that didn't go well for you. And you knew, you could look back on that moment and go, I knew I should have picked that thing, but I didn't because, you know, my thought process was this person would think I should take B. And that person said I should. But your inner being was screaming, pick A, right? And you know what that feeling is. You know what that feeling is. It's just, you know, sometimes we just don't want to listen to it because it's easier to listen to people outside ourselves and because it seems more logical. But sometimes the best choice for you defies logic, you know? And I'll go back to that Denzel video again. You know, all the choice for him to pass on that movie defied every person's logic, but he listened to his inner voice and found the right move for him. So this is why it's so important to develop the awareness of what your inner being feels like, sounds like, you know, what it feels like in your body when you're getting that sign that you should do something, you know, what it feels like when you're listening to the thoughts and beliefs of other people, what it feels like in your body. What are those little signals? You know, this is, this all will help you in your decision making and in your moving forward in your career when you fine tune this part of your instrument. You know, you spend a lot of time fine tuning the creative part of your instrument as an actor, you know, and learning what you learn in your technique classes. But this is just as much a part of your technique as anything else, because not only will it better help you in your creative, in the creative part of your business, but it will also help you in the business part of your business. You know, this part of your instrument needs to be tuned, needs to stay in tune. And what if you could have fun learning how to tune in like that? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? All right. Eddie says, I just need to say this out loud. So I'm going to start this, start here in this supportive group and practice saying it. I have an outstanding theatrical agent. What would it take for an outstanding theatrical agent to come into my life easily to represent me and work for me? There you go. And anywhere you've blocked that energy from your life, would you be willing to destroy and uncreate it? So be it. Wouldn't it be fun if you had an amazing agent representing you? You know, wouldn't it be fun? You know, and this is why, you know, and so just some of the things that we have to wrap up, but some of the things I want to point you to trying out, you know, one of them in particular, the Plan B exercise. Anybody listen to that part of the training where I walk you through the Plan B exercise, where you basically imagine yourself in being the version of you that does have the thing that you want. And so if you wanted to imagine, Eddie, that you imagine you were the version of you, like you were playing you in a movie. You got a movie script playing the life of Eddie Tang, right? And you got the lead role, congratulations, right? And you're playing this role. And in this movie script, Eddie Tang is an actor who has like the best agent in town, who's, you know, so in tune with him, who brings him like great offers and projects, and he feels so lucky to have this agent. You know, imagine what the rest of the script would be like and how that Eddie in that movie script would walk around. How would that Eddie show up to auditions? How would that Eddie, you know, wake up and brush his teeth in the morning? How would that Eddie be when he's, you know, having lunch with his actor friends and at a networking event or whatever? Like the Plan B exercise is just that. It's like imagining yourself in that experience of the version of you that has the thing that you're lacking. And this will really, number one, engages your creative skills as an actor. Number two, it puts you in the wouldn't it be fun if energy, right? Where you're in the energy of having, not in the energy of wanting that thing. And when you're in that energy of having, remember your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. So you're activating that reticular activating system in your subconscious brain that, that allows your subconscious brain to filter out things that you don't want and filter in things to your experience that you do want when you engage in your imagination in this way. And as an actor, this should be easy for you to do, to be able to be in that space. So, because, you know, sometimes meditating and visualizing like doesn't engage you in the way that you might like, but an acting exercise will. You guys can all engage with an acting exercise. And, you know, I don't know about you, but like when I was in college and I was, you know, really into acting was like my 24/7 activity. All I wanted to do is eat, breathe, drink, sleep, live acting all the time. And especially when I was first, you know, learning all that stuff, there were days where, you know, I just walk around in an accent all day. Who did that? Anybody ever else do that? You walk around in an accent all day, or you walk around as a character all day just for fun, you know, right? So, right. You remember doing that? So this is a version of that. You know, what if tomorrow you could wake up and be the Plan B version of yourself? Like what, imagine like that successful working actor version of yourself. And what if you were that person tomorrow? How would you show up at your day job if you were that person who was, you know, getting paid for work and your agent was getting you in on great things? And how would you walk and talk? How would you order your latte from Starbucks? How would you you know, chat on the, you know, on the phone with your friends or whatever, you know, who, what would you be posting on Instagram that day? You know, like imagine yourself in that space and just feel what that would feel like. Walk around in it for the day or for an hour or on your lunch or, you know, whatever. Allow yourself to be in that space. Give yourself that acting exercise, because I'm telling you, that type of a thing, especially when you do it consistently, can really shift your vibration and start creating the belief system and the thoughts and all those things and the energy of the kind of acting career that you want to have. And remember, your outer life reflects the inner life that you have. So start creating an inner life that will, you know, will reflect that outer life that you want to create. You know, I love the fact that the stuff is all, it works in a circle, like in both directions. You can create your acting career from the inside out and from the outside in. And the Plan B exercise is a great way to do it from the outside in by trying on the character of the working actor version of you. And all this other stuff that we're doing is doing it from the inside out, where you create the thoughts and beliefs of an actor who has the things that you want to have in your life. You know, when you can come at it from both sides or as often as possible with all these different tools, trying out all these fun things, you're giving yourself so much of a better success rate than, you know, than you had before by just slogging through. Make sense? Oh, good, Eddie. I'm glad you enjoyed that. All right. That alone was worth the cost of this course. I'm so glad. I'm so happy to hear you say that. Megan says you love that. It makes so much sense. It's like that feeling you have when you're walking down the street with a new haircut and your vibe is just so fun and so positive. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Or like, you know, when you're wearing something great, like, you know, you're wearing fantastic, expensive underwear. You know, you have a different spring in your step, don't you? Come on, right? It's not just me. No, so we all, you know, that's the thing. Like those things can change the way you feel. And so start to become aware of those things and use them to your advantage. Because, you know, your emotions, the way you feel at any given moment is the best tell that you have of whether you're in alignment or out of alignment. You feel heavy and down or have emotions that feel icky and bad, you're out of alignment with your natural state of being. That's just a clue, right? So yes, new shoes, morale, exactly. Exactly. Good. I'm glad it's been, yes, you just won the lottery and it's your little secret. Exactly. Exactly, Danielle. Okay, cool. So this has been helpful for you, yes? Excellent. Good. Gratitude right back at you. Good, good, good. All right, so we have class number 4. We start on the how-to systems coming at you starting this week, I believe on Wednesday. And then we have our other bonus calls coming up. So good things ahead, excited for all of you. This doesn't mean you drop, by the way, all the activities that you're choosing with your newfound awareness. You want to keep playing with those tools as often as humanly possible, okay? All right, cool. Yes, double down, Megan. Exactly. Double down on awareness, double down on vibrational alignment. Woo. Awesome. All right. Much love to everybody. Albert, yes. Christina, yes. Everybody. Cool. Best course. You have taken so much value. Thank you. I appreciate hearing that. I'm so excited to share all of your, you know, your good stuff with next year's class. You know, I can't wait. All right. You guys are rocking. You're making my day. All right. Have a wonderful, beautiful evening. All right. Bye, guys.